Previously on Talk to Dad.
This is a family podcast, and we don't want people just turning it off because it's awful.
I have the pandemic equivalent of car butt.
On the other hand, maybe she could use her nails as chopstick.
You can scratch your friend's back from across the room.
Oh, gosh.
And later the witnesses said that they couldn't actually remember any details of his face because the tie that he was wearing was so loud and ugly. Anyway.
This is why I don't rob banks. People are mean.
These people are mean to you.
You could just inject brain glue into a brain and it would actually help the brain.
I live in an apartment. It's the pig's apartment now. It's bright red. It is bright red. I do not feel optimistic about this.
Talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 241. I've got Henry here with me.
Hello.
How's it going, Henry?
Pretty good.
It is a Saturday afternoon. We're hanging out here at the house. You guys just finished a band practice.
Yeah, actually, the band practice went pretty well.
Yeah. Tell me about the band practice.
So, I mean, first we just like... Okay, so usually with band practices, we'll like... It'll be from 2 to 4. This one is from 3 to 5 because... our guitarist was shopping. But like, we'll meet here because there's drum pads here and stuff, and he can just bring his guitar case and like a portable amp. So it's me, Will, and Will's friend, who's the guitarist. And usually we'll just like, we start practicing like covers just to record, just like get like recording and like stuff down. But also like, I have two different songs that I've made like little demos in Ableton of that we played. And actually, this time, like, we made, it's a very rough demo, but we actually, like, made a demo of us, like, fully playing it, like, all together, instead of just, like, me playing two guitar parts and, like, adding a drum beat.
Can I play demo that you
It is very rough, recorded. And not definitely none of the parts are, like, played, like, perfectly, and it's not fully done, but it's just, like, a quick, like, demo so that I sent to our group chat so we can just, like, think of ideas for the song.
It's recording.
You guys were playing this. I was downstairs getting the podcast ready, and I was thinking, that sounds really good. But I couldn't recognize the song. I should have recognized it because you played me the demo before.
Well, yeah, but like only once.
But when you guys are all playing it together, I think it sounds a little different. It actually sounds better like live than it does on the recording.
It really does.
I think part of it is because the drums don't record really well. You just record this on your phone, right?
Yeah.
Just
but also, I think part of it was because, okay, let me just say something. So this might sound like I'm like talking behind Will's back, but I swear it's not. I'm not trying to be rude to him or anything. But like before we recorded that, like he just did like simple drum beats with that were all right. But like when we started recording that, like the way he did the drum beats was like really, that was just him improvising, by the way.
Oh yeah.
The way he did the drum beats was like really good on that.
Yeah.
Also, in case you're wondering, that was me playing bass and the rhythm guitar.
Yeah, so you start out with the bass, yeah. And then do the drums come in or the guitar come in?
The drums come in, like, with, like, a simpler beat, and then the drums, like, pick up on a more, I guess, I described it as, like, chaotic to Will when I was telling him, like, what type of drums I wanted, and then also the rhythm guitar comes in.
Yeah, so it goes bass, and that's you on the bass, then Will on drums,
and then
Alex, the other guy in the band on guitar. It's good. I like it. And it's, you know, it sounds like a demo, but that's appropriate because it's just a demo.
It's a demo. And we don't really have anything past that part to progress to, but we do have ideas. And that's why I sent it to our band group chat, which is like a text group chat, not GroupMe, because like it was just easier. And also you can send audio files through text, but not GroupMe. And I basically just sent that so that we could like work out parts after that and just use it as like a reference.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Do you have any thoughts about like lyrics or like a vocal?
Oh, actually, Will's doing the lyrics.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because originally when we still had like a separate drummer, because before Will was actually a keyboardist, he still sort of is, but now he basically just, he's our drummer. And the idea was that like, oh, you wouldn't really be able to fit keyboard into that, so I told him he could do lyrics to contribute to it. So now he's doing lyrics.
Yeah. I was wondering maybe if I should get like a mic stand, because the mics we use for the podcast, you could also use to sing into.
Yeah, true.
And like Will has a little, like the amplifier he uses for his keyboard, you can also plug a microphone into it.
There's like a channel one, channel two thing along with.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Oh,
it's actually got like a mic input. So yeah, these type of microphones.
I was thinking the one he uses for drums. Sometimes I'll use the drum amp for bass too, but you can also, there's like a channel one, channel two AUX. We use the AUX for drums. Mm-hmm. So that's two channels extra that you could put in. Or that you could
use the drum bass or the, yeah, use the drum amp for that, right?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. But his keyboard amp has a, you can plug a microphone into that. So I was wondering maybe like if you guys had a mic stand, someone could sing while you're playing.
Although Will wouldn't really be able to sing since he's the drummer and like drumming and singing just isn't really a thing.
There are drummers who do it. We've had this conversation before.
Well, yeah, but like it's notoriously difficult. Hello, Will.
But there are drummers who sing. Not very many. It's unusual.
Okay. I'd just like to add, I thought that we had kind of established this, but we're going to like put vocal tracks like on different, like in different takes. Like, we're going to edit them together.
Yeah. Just kind of compile them. But it might be fun to practice it though. Like just in practice, not necessarily to record it.
Maybe we could play with like a drum loop so we could practice you doing the vocals.
I would like to sing that song though.
Yeah.
Also, if we ever play it like, if we ever like play it like live, I guess, then like we could just get like a separate drummer.
Yeah. Yeah. At some point, the band might need a drummer. Mm-hmm. I know you've tried to recruit people to be drummers. And
we've tried to recruit one person who I don't think was aware he was part of the band.
Oh, really?
I'm not completely sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe someone can learn drums.
I mean, Will's sort of doing drums, and he's actually pretty good at it, it seems.
But he can't do drums and keyboard at the same time. That's the
and he can't do
limitation.
Drums and vocals at the same time, probably.
Yeah. He could record a drum loop on his keyboard and play keyboards over it, but anyway.
Oh, Will said that we should clarify that they're drum pads. They're like electric drum pads.
Well, that's electric drum kit. I mean, that still counts as drums.
Yeah.
They're technically still drums. They're just not acoustic drums.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty fun. I feel like because you've been playing a lot of guitar, I've sort of been obsessing about guitars lately. I don't know why. It's just like I think about like, because the guitar you have, let's be honest, you're pretty good at playing it.
It's kind of cheap.
It's a really cheap guitar that I bought for Elizabeth a long time ago when Elizabeth was like about your age. Mm. And it's fine. It actually, for what it is, it's a pretty good guitar.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, like, if you were to get another guitar, what kind of guitar would you like? And I've just sort of gone down this rabbit hole of just looking online at different types of guitars and what's out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. So the guitar you have, it's like a Les Paul style guitar, but it's like the cheap one. I think it's called the Les Paul Special 2.
Yeah, it's the Epiphone Special
version.
2. Yeah.
So Epiphone is like the cheaper version of a Gibson, which makes like the really nice Les Pauls. Mm-hmm. But Epiphone makes some really good ones too.
Yeah.
But this is one of the cheaper ones. And it's got like, you know, it's just everything on it's a little bit cheaper. But I don't know. I was thinking like if you were to get another guitar, would it be like a kind of the standard that most guitars you see, like a Fender Stratocaster style guitar. And then like Fender Telecasters are pretty popular too.
Yeah. We actually went to a guitar store like a couple weeks back and I actually do really like Fender Telecasters. They just feel really good.
Yeah. And there's like a line they just came out with called the Player, the Fender Player series. And so they're all made in Mexico, but made with like really good components. Like the same components they use in their Neitzer guitars, they're just made a little bit cheaper. And the player Telecaster, I think that's the one you picked it up and you tried it just a little bit and you're like, oh, I really like the way this one feels, like the way it plays. And then I was looking at like, and it's interesting to look at, like, think about like a musician. You can look up online and what kind of instruments they used.
Yeah.
You know, and there's like some more unusual guitars, like a Mustang, Fender Mustang, or like what they call the...
I feel like Fender Mustangs aren't like super unusual. Like I've
they're
heard
not,
like...
No, they're not, but they're less, they're more unusual than like a Stratocaster or a Telecaster. Yeah.
But like, I think Ben Gibbard uses one. I think he has a signature Mustang actually.
Yeah, he just came out with a signature Mustang and he's been using one
also,
for a few years.
I think Kurt Cobain used one.
Yeah, he's probably the most famous guitarist that used them, and a lot of kind of like indie alternative people started using them, mostly because like in the 80s and 90s they were really cheap.
Yeah,
so they were cheaper than like Stratocasters or Telecasters or Les Pauls. But like the, and then there are other offset, what they call offset guitars, because they're like more kind of asymmetrical, like a Jazzmaster, or there's one called a Jaguar, Fender Jaguar. It's just kind of interesting to learn about it. And it's weird because I don't even play guitar, but it's I've been watching all these like YouTube videos of people like demoing these guitars and trying to figure out like, I don't know, what kind of guitar sound that I like. And so part of it doesn't matter. Like you can still make the same sounds with any guitar if you use like, some of it's dependent on what type of amplifier and effects you're using with that guitar. But then certain guitars have like a certain sound they're associated with. Like a Telecaster has a certain type of twang. Like a lot of country musicians like it because it can be very twangy, but it doesn't have to be really twangy. Cause like, even like punk bands will use it.
You can add
it differently.
Pedals too. And like, you can even add effects after you've recorded it.
Yeah. So I don't know. For some reason, I've been a little obsessed with that lately. It's like,
seem like a rabbit hole. But
it is a little bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting though. One thing I've noticed though, is a lot of times like the guys who do guitar demos on YouTube are like older guys that are super into like classic rock and blues. And when I hear them playing a guitar, I'm like, ooh, I don't like this guitar, but it's mainly because they're playing like a type of music that I'm not really into.
Yeah.
But yeah. Today we went and took a walk through a nature preserve. It felt very 2020 to me, like a throwback to that. Cause we used to do that all the time when the lockdown first started, cause we couldn't really do anything else. So going for a walk through a nature preserve was something we did like almost every week for a while there.
Yeah.
It was still fun though.
Yeah.
It was kind of nice.
It was a pretty cool place. I mean,
it was a little bit colder today.
Yeah. Also there were like, basically it was like passed through a bunch of fields and like, you could tell that like, if we'd come a little later, like when all the flowers bloomed, then it would look like super gorgeous, but it was still pretty pretty.
Yeah, there were still some wildflowers out. So there are a lot of these, we may have talked about on the podcast before, but in our neighborhood, well, all the towns around here, they're all basically suburbs. And some of the suburbs have like these nature preserves that are just kind of in the middle of the suburbs, but they've set aside a parts of it that just have trees and open areas where you can walk and things. And because it's kind of there are trees along the perimeter, you don't notice that you're kind of right in the middle of someone's neighborhood. And that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
You had a couple of choir concerts.
Oh, yeah.
This week.
Actually, the first one was, they're both for UIL, which is like a, I'm not sure if this is just a thing in Texas. It might be.
I think it is a thing in Texas. I think everywhere has something like UIL. Mm-hmm. But in Texas, they call it UIL. It's just
basically
competitive anything in Texas.
Yeah, and you compete with like everyone in your region. And then if you win that, then you can also go to state. And I think it goes up from there. I'm not sure. But so we had UIL. Or no, I don't think you do go to state. I think that's something else. I think it's all region. So we had UIL, which is basically where you just compete. Like, it's not really... I mean, it is a competition, but it's not, like, against other people. It's more, like, what score you get based on your performance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we did well. And the first night I was there, I was actually part of the choir. I'm in the varsity choir, because of scheduling issues, basically. So that's kind of funny. But there are other people there who it wasn't their first year in choir, so that worked out. Then the second night, I was just playing cello for the non-varsity choir, and that was pretty cool, too.
Yeah. That was kind of funny that, like, you know, for the choir that you weren't in, you were, like, at the front of the stage playing cello. Yeah. There were two other cellists, and then there was someone with clarinet.
No, there was an English oboe. Horn. It was oboe and
oboe,
English horn.
Oboe and English horn.
So oboe and lower oboe, basically.
Yeah. I think it made your mom really nervous when you told her you were going to be playing cello. She was like, what? How come I don't know about this?
Oh, yeah. I kind of forgot to tell her for a bit, but it worked out.
It was pretty easy music. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Like it wasn't really difficult.
It really wasn't.
But I think she was concerned because she was like, well, I've never heard him practice. Is he going to make a fool of himself in front of everyone?
No, it was pretty
easy.
You did
not.
And there were two other cellists.
For the record.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she also thought that it was just you playing. And then when we got there and she realized there were other cellists.
Yeah, two others. I actually didn't know there were two other cellists, but I was like, oh, it'll be fine.
Yeah. I've got a quick Maisie update.
There we go.
Maisie is on her way to becoming a TikTok star.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I ever actually, like, watched the... So you sent, like, a TikTok to the group chat that you'd made that featured Maisie. I just didn't watch it because I was in school at the time, so I haven't actually seen it yet.
I'm joking when I say she's a TikTok star. She's not actually going to become a TikTok star.
Hopefully.
But, I don't know. TikTok is so weird. It's just a bizarre medium. But I think I saw a TikTok somewhere, and it made me think of this. I thought it would be really... A lot of times on TikTok, people are, like, super serious. So not always. I mean, it seems like it's split between people who are, like, very serious and people who are just trying to be, like, comedians and make lots of jokes. And sometimes everyone's making the same joke, and it's not really that funny. But the people who are trying to be super serious kind of... I don't know. I noticed that there's a song that a lot of them use when they're being super serious. And I thought it would be funny to put that with some video of Maisie. And I'm going to pull it up here.
I actually haven't seen this
yet. The video that this plays with is Maisie when she gets totally wrapped up in her blanket. Maybe I'll post the video to Twitter and to Instagram so that people who listen to this podcast can see it. But sometimes we put her in her kennel at night and she wraps herself completely up in her blanket.
Yeah.
And sometimes she's so wrapped up in her blanket, she can't get out of it. And so the video is her trying to get out of her blanket along with this song. So it's a song by Linkin Park. I don't know if you know Linkin Park. They were kind of a new metal rap rock band back in the 90s or 2000s.
I've heard a lot of people say they're really good, but I've also heard a lot of people say they're really bad.
They're kind of like, they kind of ride the line between being really good and really bad. But there are all these videos where people are like, I don't know, have like super serious or like... Maybe it'll be like a helicopter view of someplace really scenic and they'll be playing that music. And I just thought it'd be funny to have that music with the dog. And then I posted a couple of other videos kind of similar. Like there's one. This one is just the video is just her on the couch. And this is a song that like a lot of people on TikTok will show when they're like doing something really glamorous, like on a glamorous vacation or like up in, you know, like in the... on an exclusive beach or like up in a ski resort or something. You know, I'm just a flight away. But if you wanted, you could take a private flight. It's just Maisie on the couch. She's lazy. I just thought that was funny.
That is kind of funny.
So yeah, one thing that was kind of funny though is after I posted that video and I was thinking about telling you about it for the podcast, I Googled Linkin Park because there were some things I don't know. I just kind of went down a Linkin Park rabbit hole. And the Wikipedia page mentions that they are one of the most successful bands of all time.
Yeah.
Because they have sold over 100 million copies of their albums. Oh. And now I have to find again. Oh, they are one of the world's best-selling musical artists. And it had there was a link to click on it. And I clicked on it and came up with... There is actually a list here on Wikipedia. So they have only looked at bands or musical acts since the middle of the 20th century, so 1950 on, and tried to verify. Lots of people claim to be the top-selling artists of all time, but they've tried to verify it with available information.
Okay, just a quick guess.
I want you to guess. So that's the whole point of this. You're correct. They are at the top of the list.
I mean, that's kind of an easy one.
So the Beatles have, they claim to have somewhere between 500 million and 600 million. The people doing this Wikipedia list were able to verify at least 283.4 million record sales. So the Beatles are at the top of the list. Who else would you say would be in the top of the list? So the top
Michael
of the
Jackson.
List goes down to 125 million, I think, or no, to 250 million. 250 million or above.
I'm going to say the next one's Michael Jackson. That seems like another safe bet. Either that or Elvis.
Also okay. Correct. So, yes, Michael Jackson is third on the list.
Oh.
With from 300 to 350 million. Any other guesses?
Elvis.
You're doing pretty well. Elvis okay, is number two.
These are all pretty safe ones.
Yeah, Elvis is number two on the list.
Oh, okay.
So Elvis has...
It was my guess for third, but yeah, that's...
Between that's 500 and 600 million for Elvis. That's a lot. Hmm. Any other guesses? So there's one, two, three, four, five more in this category, which is 250 million or above.
Wait, is this like, does this take like, I guess if it's like physical stuff, then it's not really like, it's going to be more biased towards older stuff. So
for the most part, I think, I'm trying to see if there's anyone on, there's one person who is still active on this list.
Rolling Stones.
Oh. Nope, they are not in the top tier. I think they're in either the second or third tier here.
Oh, but they are still active, which is weird.
They are still active. I think the one who is active might surprise you.
Drake?
Drake is not it. Drake is on this list somewhere, but I think he's third tier.
Oh.
Yeah, Drake is third tier. And the third tier goes from 120 million to 199
okay.
million.
Okay, okay. So just give me a genre, at least, for the one okay. that's still active.
I would say not too far from Drake. I wouldn't say hip-hop, but I would say, I don't know, R&B pop.
Beyonce?
That is a good guess. But she's third tier down with Drake.
Okay. I don't know, just tell me.
It's Rihanna. Rihanna is actually up there. She is, I think, let's see. It's hard to read this one. So it goes Beatles, Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, another person, a band, then Rihanna, and then a band.
Okay, Linkin Park can't be top tier, right?
Linkin Park is second
third
tier. I think Linkin Park is third tier.
Okay, yeah.
Want some clues?
Okay.
Okay. So the other people in the top tier, one is a male singer and piano player who was active from the 60s till now.
All right.
69 I till think. Now. Plays the piano.
Okay, yeah. But I'm blanking out.
You want a bigger clue?
I shouldn't. No. Okay. I shouldn't be blanking out. I feel like I should know this. Is one of them Queen? This is a separate one, but is one of them Queen?
Queen is second tier, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah, Queen is second tier.
I'm trying to think. Why can't I think of anyone who's like a pianist from the 60s?
Well, more in the 70s is when he was the most popular.
Well, yeah, but why can't I? Well, I mean, like that like general. Well, yeah. I mean, he started in 69, but like, why can't I think of anyone?
I'm gonna give you a couple more clues.
Okay, just give me some.
The Lion King. Does that mean anything to you? There was a movie about him in the last couple of years.
Oh, what's he did Rocket Man?
Yes.
That guy.
Elton John.
Elton John.
So Elton John, I think, is number 4 after Michael Jackson.
I would have eventually gotten that.
That's actually higher than I would have guessed for Elton John. I didn't realize he was top tier in record sales. That's pretty impressive.
I would have thought like second tier.
Yeah, I guess because his career has been so long, though, and he's had a lot of success over the whole career. The next one is a female singer from the 80s. Mostly. I mean, she's still around, but she doesn't release much music anymore.
Mm. Oh, wait, sorry. Separate guess. This is a separate thing. Is David Bowie one of them, too?
David Bowie,
I think
might be like third tier.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, I'm looking for David Bowie.
I mean, I know he was still active until about... I mean, he did die.
I don't know where he is on this list. Maybe he's second tier.
Really? I mean, second tier, I guess, would...
I don't think David Bowie had the record sales that a lot of other artists did, to be honest.
That's actually surprising.
I mean, he's very influential. And he had a successful career, but not as much as these people. Hmm. I don't even see him on the third tier.
I can't think of
any... Which is kind of sad, because that means that Linkin Park sold more records than David Bowie. Yeah.
Dang. That means Drake sold more records than David Bowie. Anyways, a female singer from the 80s. I can't think of anything. I'm sure I'll recognize the name, but I can't think of anything.
Sorry, I'm still looking for David Bowie. I don't... Oh, here he is.
Oh.
So he's on the fourth tier.
Oh. Man, Drake and
Linkin
Park...
Which is the same
Park
tier
both...
as Linkin Park, but below Linkin Park, sadly.
So Linkin Park and Drake both sold more records than David Bowie.
Yes. And Beyonce.
And Beyonce. Although.
So the top tier one, who is the female singer from the 80s, was Madonna.
Oh, yeah.
Other people in the top tier, there is a hard rock band.
Led Zeppelin.
Yes.
Yeah, that correct. Was easy.
And.
Is Pink Floyd on there?
Then Rihanna. And then Pink Floyd is the last one in the top tier.
All right.
Because The Dark Side of the Moon sold just a ton.
Yeah, which is surprising. It was a pretty, like...
A ton of records.
It wasn't the most accessible thing they'd released.
I mean, it kind of is, though. I mean,
it's a very weird
easy.
Album.
It's weird, but it's really easy to listen to. It's got a lot of catchy songs on it. But that was, like, on the album sales charts for, like...
It's one of the top
decades.
Ones.
Like for a long, long time. After it was released, it mm-hmm. stayed, it just continued to sell records for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. I think
so.
That
those
and
are the people
are
on the top
like,
tier.
Really? I think that and The Wall are like.
I won't have you guess who's in the second tier, but some of these are kind of surprising. After Pink Floyd, Eminem. Huh. Would you have guessed that Eminem sold that many
Not
records?
Really. I don't feel
weird,
like that
right?
would have been.
Like a white rapper from the 90s. Taylor Swift, I don't think that's very surprising. She's pretty massively popular. Mariah Carey. Queen is after them. The Eagles. Whitney
Houston. I forgot
who
the Eagles are.
The Eagles were kind of like a country rock band from the 70s. They were very popular when I was growing up, but I'm not a big fan.
I recognize the name, but like...
Yeah, you would probably recognize some of their songs, but... Yeah, they're not as relevant.
But I can't
right
really
now.
Think of anything they've made right now.
Hotel California. Is that,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you would probably recognize some other stuff, but I don't know that you would ever voluntarily listen to it. Mm. Whitney Houston, Celine Dion, AC/DC, and then the Rolling Stones. So the Rolling Stones are at the bottom of the second tier, which surprised me a little bit. Mm. I would have thought that'd be like closer to the top
tier. I really thought that was the one you're referring to when you said one that's still active.
Yeah. Then you get to the third tier, and Drake is at the top of the third tier. Mm. Has sold a ton of records, which is a little questionable, but oh well. Mm. And then Garth Brooks, who is a very popular country singer. I'm surprised he's the first country singer on this list because country music is very popular. And then Kanye West.
Yeah.
After.
That seems about right.
Garth Brooks. Then Justin Bieber. Ed Sheeran. The third tier is not going so well so far.
Man, all of this is above David Bowie, though.
Then Billy Joel.
Think about that.
U2. Barbra Streisand. Phil Collins. Aerosmith. ABBA. Frank Sinatra. That's a throwback. Katy Perry. Chris Brown. Bruce Springsteen. Bruno Mars. Jay-Z. Metallica. Lady Gaga. Lil Wayne. That's higher than I would have guessed, but... Maroon 5, Adele, Fleetwood Mac, Rod Stewart, and the Bee Gees. So those are the top, I guess, two tiers. Those are the people who sold like
Very
over 100 million records.
Man, Drake and Ed Sheeran sold more records than David Bowie.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
That is kind of weird.
It's weird because like when there are people that you don't listen to, you can underestimate how popular they are with like everyone else in the world, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know they're popular because you've heard of them, but you don't realize like someone like Eminem or, I don't
know,
Ed Sheeran is as popular as they are.
Although Ed Sheeran is pretty popular.
He is like, pretty popular. I would have guessed that, but I wouldn't guess. But he hasn't been around as
Eminem,
long as some
though.
Of those others.
Though. Like Eminem is really at the top of the second tier.
Yeah, weird, right?
Yeah.
And I think you tend to underestimate people who are current too. Like Ed Sheeran's only been around for like 10 years or so.
Longer than the Beatles, though.
But to sell that much, that's true. But the Beatles, so they can make up for it because they've been around for decades, so they continue to sell records.
But also, it is
people
really,
still buy Beatles
it's
records.
Really weird to think that the Beatles were only around for 9 years.
Yeah, it is strange, right? Mm. Like a lot of bands now, that would only be like 2 or 3 albums worth, but they put out like 15 albums in that time.
Mm.
Or whatever they're... I don't know how many actual albums there are of the Beatles. There's got to be at least... Yeah, around 15, I would guess.
I can check on Spotify.
Actual studio albums? Or we could just do this. How many studio albums did the Beatles have? Hey, Google. How many studio albums did the Beatles have?
Beatles have released more than 60 albums. Here are the first three. Abbey Road, The Beatles, and Help.
Yeah, but those are studio albums, though.
Okay, wait, 1 second. I was going to check on Spotify, and I would just like to mention that their most popular song, Here Comes the Sun, has less streams than Seven Nation Army and Do I Want to Know? Like, it only has 600 million.
One thing is, I don't think they were on Spotify very long.
Well, yeah, but still.
But also, Spotify's
That's just interesting.
Weird. I don't know how many, like... I think Wikipedia has. Now
right,
I have to look
I'll just,
it up.
I'll just discard... I'll just, like, disregard any of that... Say live, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Pretty sure
eight,
Wikipedia has it broken down to studio
23
studio albums. 13,
14.
So, in 9 years, they made 23 albums. That's amazing. That's a
yeah,
huge
that is,
amount
that
of
is
output.
Kind of huge.
That is an amazing amount of output for a band. And that's what one of the things that makes them so incredible is not only were they like. You know,
wait, that's almost 8 albums per year.
Influential, but they came out with a lot of albums.
That's like an album every like 1.5 months.
Some of it might be though.
I mean, there are live albums.
Yeah, too. And sometimes there would be like there would be a British version and then an American version that covered the same songs but were in slightly different order or had slightly different track selection, and those might both count.
Oh.
Still,
that's
still,
pretty impressive.
Yeah, that is a lot of albums and a lot of music in a relatively short career.
Also, wait, they weren't even releasing albums for 9 years. They were around for 9 years, which is like since they first started playing to when they broke up. That's not even like when they were releasing albums.
Yeah. Kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Let's do some news.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I've got an important breaking story out of Poland. A mysterious beast was lurking in a tree in Krakow, Poland, and it has now been identified. The Krakow Society for the Protection of Animals which runs the city's main animal shelter, reports that a desperate woman called to say that a creature had been hiding in a tree for 2 days. People are not opening their windows because they are afraid it will come into their home, she said. Everyone is scared of it. Asked to describe the animal, she said that it could be an iguana. After dispelling initial suspicions that it might be a late April Fool's joke, the organization sent out a team to check on the animal. They assumed that if it was a tropical reptile, it could have died and therefore remained motionless in the tree. At the scene, the team spotted the creature, its brown skin glistening in the sun. When we looked more closely, the poor thing had no legs or head. We knew already that we could not help the creature, they wrote on Facebook. The mysterious iguana turned out to be a croissant.
That's really funny.
The Society for the Protection of Animals because
there's a
croissant
their
was
tree.
Stuck in a tree.
You should help that croissant.
Yeah. They they told the news organization that reported this, and this is from notesfrompoland.com. They assured them that the story was completely true and added that it still encourages anyone with concerns about the well-being of an animal to contact them. It's better to check and be pleasantly disappointed, sometimes, unfortunately, very rarely, to laugh than not to react.
Okay. So that's
There's
all cool,
picture.
But
you
like...
want to see a picture of the croissant stuck in the tree.
All right. That's funny.
It's like a big old croissant.
All right,
stuck in
so,
a tree.
Yeah, all that's like interesting stuff, but like, was it a good croissant?
I don't know. I would assume it was probably kind of stale by then.
Fair.
But yes, they called... because there was a croissant stuck in the tree, and they were all afraid of it. Closing their doors
fear
and
croissant.
Windows. Because they were afraid it might come into their
house.
It's a
fear croissant.
Yes. I thought that was pretty funny. Do you want to share your story?
This one's an equally serious subject. British garden stores facing gnome shortage.
That's rough.
Yeah, so basically... it's actually like... so basically the idea is that like while everyone's inside or while everyone's like stuck at home because of quarantine, like everyone's like gardening a ton. So there's a gnome shortage and there has been for like 6 months, but nobody's noticed, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of weird things that there have been shortages of during the pandemic, like bicycles and.
All right. Okay. But who's mass buying gnomes?
I don't know. Pizza stones apparently were hard to buy for a while because everyone's breaking baking bread at home. And apparently garden gnomes in England. But there was another reason for it, too, I think, in the article.
Oh, yeah. Apparently part of it is that, like, so raw materials in Europe have been, like, in that general area have been, like, super hard to get. So gnomes are shortaged, or are on a shortage. And part of the reason raw materials are hard to get is because of the Suez Canal blockage thing.
Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I did. It was actually kind of funny, but also, like, it really affected stuff in Europe.
It affected not only in Europe, but like also Europe, in this country, too.
I feel like the supply chain
affected the United States also.
I feel like it was less so the United States, though.
Yeah, so this massive boat called the Ever Given, I think is what the boat was called.
Something like that.
And it's like this boat that's bigger than, like, a skyscraper got wedged in the Suez Canal. It was, like, diagonal in the Suez Canal, and it was blocking all the traffic. And they couldn't get it unstuck for like several days. And so if you're shipping things from Europe, say you're going from, say, India or Asia to Europe, you have to go through the Suez Canal, which is in Egypt, to get to the Mediterranean Sea.
Actually,
so you come up through the Indian Ocean, through the Suez Canal into the Mediterranean Sea, and no one could go through that canal because that ship was stuck.
I think instead of waiting, like some ships just straight up went around the bottom of Africa instead.
Yeah, the Cape Horn?
Something like that. I think
it was
just
Cape
right.
of Good Hope. I can't remember. One is Cape Horn, South America. And one is, what is it now?
I think Cape Horn's Africa and Cape
I don't
Good
know
Hope
why, but it's bugging
America.
Me and I have to look it up. One is the Cape of Good Hope and one is Cape Horn. Look on my Google Maps. No, Cape Horn is the one around South America. So it must be Cape of Good Hope.
Huh.
So like ships that hadn't gone around it for, I don't know, decades were suddenly going around all the way around Africa just to get to Europe.
Well, some ships did, most didn't, but
yeah. Yeah, it's the one down around South Africa. Mm. Yeah. So apparently the raw materials to make garden gnomes were some of the things that were in shortage. So that even made it a bigger shortage of garden gnomes.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. I have a really interesting story from the world of science! A study has just come out about octopi. We always have this debate about how octopuses dream.
Actually, officially, it's octopoly.
Yeah. I'm going to say octopuses. And the article says octopuses. Apparently, lots of animals dream, including fruit flies, octopuses, birds, and humans.
Humans, really?
Yes. But scientists don't really understand why. There's a lot of things they don't understand about sleep. This is from Wired magazine, and the article says, nearly all creatures sleep, though there's some debate as to whether single-celled organisms like paramecium do, but no one really knows why. For years, researchers have bandied about theories that sleep helps with memory, growth, and learning, and it's clear that humans need to sleep to function properly, but there's little else that's well understood. Sleep is a big black box, says Marcos Frank, a neuroscientist at Washington State University. Frank likens sleep to a mysterious organ. It's clear that it exists and is vital to animals' health, but its exact function and the mechanisms that control it are still unknown. So sleep is really important. We know it's important, and if we don't get sleep, it'll mess us up. But we don't really understand how sleep works and like why it's important.
It's really
and
weird.
Part of that is dreaming. So humans have two types of sleep. You have a passive and an active sleep. And in the active sleep, that's when you dream. Sometimes it's called REM sleep for rapid eye movements.
Yeah.
And that's when your brain is, it's actually your brain is as active as it is when you're awake, but it's responding to dreams. And so researchers have noticed that other animals seem to have, the first thing they had to do is kind of figure out when animals are asleep, because with some types of animals, it's not really obvious, but you can sort of watch them and know when they're in like passive states. And then try to figure out like if they're dreaming during those states. And this article talks about the fact that early research, they thought, well, dreaming must be something that evolved like when animals came onto land. And that's why birds and mammals dream, but other creatures don't. And then they figured out that other animals like octopuses also dream. And octopuses don't have the same evolutionary history as us. So it's what they call convergent evolution, that we both developed the ability to dream independently, but they don't really know why and like why it's important. Mm. But this study was really interesting because of the way they went about it. They said, you know, with mammals, you can figure out if something's dreaming by putting like sensors into their brain and noting their brain activity. But octopuses don't have brains the way we have brains. Instead, they have a highly distributed central nervous system. Instead of concentrating the control of their nervous system in one brain, they have 8 ganglia in their arms that often act independently.
Oh, that's weird.
Isn't that crazy?
Their arms are all like,
yeah,
they have minds
they
of their own.
They think for themselves, exactly. Yeah. But somehow they're able to coordinate it too.
It's basically a team. An octopus is just a team.
So what these scientists did is they had to observe the octopuses to try and figure out if they were dreaming or not. So first of all, they would watch them when they were in their periods of inactivity, and they would figure out, okay, they seem to be asleep right now. And then they would try to figure out, are they doing anything where they're responding to something that doesn't correspond to what's going on around them? So for example, one of the things they studied was octopuses changing their skin color, which they do when they're hunting. So they're trying to sneak up on prey, or when they're doing like courtship rituals, or when they're fighting over territory with other octopuses, they might change their skin color. But they found these octopuses that did this when they were asleep, and they figured they must be responding to dreams.
It's kind of cool.
So instead of reacting to something around them, they must be doing something like in their inner, like in their subconscious.
Oh, dreams are very weird.
Yeah. So they, the scientist said, what we observed with sleep is that this changing of color is not related to what is happening at the same moment in the environment. Instead, the octopuses were changing into fantastical patterns that had nothing to do with the real world stimuli. For example, the team's paper describes a brief state called quiet half and half, when the octopuses exhibit a striking pattern in which one half of the animal is completely white and the other half completely black. This pattern normally appears during courtship or turf fights. Since it was obvious that the sleeping animals weren't engaged in those activities, the researchers wondered if they were dreaming about these scenarios and broadcasting the dreams on their skin. A couple of other interesting things. Although they did sleep and dream, their dreams are very short. They usually only last about a minute, which is different from us. Like, we can have up to like 4 hours of REM sleep. But they have very short dreams. The one of the things they point out is this dreaming behavior is a little bit dangerous for them, because if they're changing their skin color, that can be dangerous to their environment. So they think there must be some evolutionary reason why dreaming is important. And one of the things they hypothesize about is maybe it's during dreams that the different parts of the brain speak with each other. Or in the octopus's case, like the different ganglia,
different hands,
can like communicate with each other, and they can establish neural pathways. And that's what they think maybe our brains do too, is it lights up neural pathways and helps the brain remember things and learn things while you're asleep.
I heard that. But just imagine like you're, sorry, sort of a tangent. Imagine all your fingers having different brains.
Yeah, it would be
that'd
really
be kind of weird.
So, and then at the end of the article, they say it could be that lots of different animals dream. We just haven't been able to identify it yet, because maybe what their dreams look like is different from what our dreams look like. So, I don't know. I thought that was really interesting to think about, like, octopuses dreaming and why they might dream.
It could be, like, an intelligence thing. Like, if octopuses dream and so do, like, birds and mammals, then it could be, like, an animal intelligence thing. Like, yeah. If you're that intelligent, then you dream. Or if you dream, you're that intelligent, too. Could be either.
Yeah. It's weird, too, because we'll never really know. We might be able to tell or come up with evidence that they are dreaming, but we'll never be able to know what they're dreaming, right?
Well,
because only the person who's dreaming
true.
Knows what they're dreaming, unless we come up with like some crazy new technology that's way beyond
what I think
we
have
now.
Is like technology for humans though, like it's sort of, it doesn't quite work the way it's supposed to, but there is like something where you can like go into a machine, sleep, and they'll like search the internet for the images that are appearing in your brain and show it, and like do like the closest image to
that's kind of crazy.
Apparently it doesn't like fully work, but yeah, so we do sort of have something like that, I guess.
Yeah, let's play a game. Hopefully it'll be fun. Isn't this fun? Will is joining us on the podcast so that we can play a couple of rounds of Think Fast.
Hello, and I actually have my own microphone this time.
You do, you've got your own microphone. Hello. Pull it right up to you, or push your chair up to it so you can talk right into it.
Here we go. Hello.
And I was, you guys remember how to play Think Fast, sometimes called Categories, where we come up with a category of things, and then each of us has to, we go around in a circle, each of us has to list an item in that category. And if you wait too long, then you get buzzed out. Henry, do you want to start? Pick a category for us.
Will,
if you think of one, you can jump in. Or I can do one if you want me to.
Things that start with the letter Q. No, wait, that's too broad, I feel like. I almost did things that start with the letter Q.
Alternative music genres. I don't know.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah.
I'm going to veto that. Do something really basic, like, I don't know, food or
musical instruments?
Vehicles.
I don't know why music is on my mind. Well, probably because we just had a band session.
Yeah.
Heavenly bodies or
rocks. No, there aren't enough rocks.
Astrological signs. I don't know.
Like space things.
Terminal illnesses. No.
Things in space.
Okay. Foods. I'll just do things in space.
We'll
that
do
works
things
too.
In space first. We can do food if, like, next if we want. All
like
right.
Types of things.
Will, you want to start us out?
Okay.
And we'll go around this way, clockwise.
Starting with Will.
Then Henry's next and then me.
All right. Since I go first,
just say something and then it's Henry's turn. Okay.
Gas giants.
Asteroids.
Stars.
Rings.
Planets.
Comets.
Kuiper belt.
Galaxies. Wait, I said asteroids. That should count against Kuiper belt. Will, no, Kuiper belt.
It's fine.
It's asteroids. Whatever.
It's fine. It's fine. I could not think of anything, though, so I am out. Will, you're next.
Okay.
I can't believe I got out so quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about that for a bit. No, okay.
You can start naming things that are up there.
Halley's Comet.
Emptiness.
Sozin's Comet.
Existential Terror.
Dread.
Existential
okay, you know what? This is kind of a, I feel like we don't have
we
established.
What is an existential chair?
Okay.
Existential terror.
Oh, terror.
I
don't know if that counts.
I can't. Yeah, let's just restart.
Objects.
I kind of messed this up, but
that's okay.
I kind of blurred the line between names and things or types of
Henry,
things.
Do you want to do
I
food?
Feel like we should just
do you want to do a category
that.
Of food?
Because
yeah, that round doesn't count.
No, it's okay. We can move on to another. You want to do a category of food or do you want to do just any type of food?
Food. Just in general.
It could be fruit. It could be vegetables. It could be types of meat. It could be, or you could have a type of cuisine,
types
Chinese.
Actually.
Cereal.
Cereal. Yes.
Okay. Cereal's good.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Raisin Bran.
Fruity Pebbles.
Reese's Puffs.
Shredded Wheat.
Cocoa Krispies.
Cinnamon Pebbles.
Cocoa Krispies.
I already said that one.
Oh, dang it. I thought you said Cocoa Puffs. Out. Dang it.
All right.
I'm not doing well.
Cocoa Pebbles.
Granola.
Cheerios.
What's that called? The special four. Is that what it's called? No, special. No.
Basic four.
Basic four. I was mixing it up with Special K.
All right, I have to come up with a category. I'm going to say types of vehicles. I think we've done that one before. No, I won't do that one.
I haven't done that before.
Plants. Grass.
Tree.
Poison ivy.
Rose bushes.
Poison oak.
Redwood tree.
Daisies.
Poison sumac.
Sorry, one second. That's...
What? Henry, come on.
I blame you.
Pine tree.
Vine.
Ivy.
Tulips.
Houseplant. No, that's not. I'm giving dang it.
You said ivy.
Houseplant is a...
You should have just gone with plant. But you also said ivy, and I said poison ivy.
But ivy and a poison ivy aren't the same plant. Not
I feel
at all.
I'm not doing great. But I'm still winning.
You won every single round. Way to go.
Well, no, that first round
didn't count. That was
not even
one.
A round.
Okay, well, you still won.
That was a practice.
I was just proud of myself for making it until second on the last round. I'm not doing well today. My brain, it's not working so well. Luckily, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Speaking of cereal, as we were just a minute ago, these are cereal... These are cereal-based snacks. I saw these in the store the other day. There's Honeycomb and Fruity Pebbles Crisps. These are Honeycomb Big Bites and Fruity Pebbles Crisp.
I feel
the
like
Honeycomb
will be good.
Big Bites just look like Honeycomb.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
So that one's not very exciting. I don't know if these are going to taste any different than just regular Honeycomb.
I feel like the Fruity Pebbles crisps are going to be good.
Apparently, there's also chocolate Honeycomb Big Bites. Seems a little more interesting, but I didn't see them in the store.
But are they chocolate or honey?
And there are also Cocoa Pebble Crisps. Mm. The Fruity Pebble Crisps look kind of crazy because they're multicolored.
Well, yeah.
So, let's try these out. I'll take a little picture.
Henry, you mentioned Cinnamon Pebbles while we were doing this. Do they still sell Cinnamon Pebbles, or is that just a limited time?
Let's try the Honeycomb first, because I think it's boring, and let's get it over with. Because these look like they're just going to taste like you reached into a box of Honeycomb.
It might be a bit more
of Honeycomb. They are bigger. They're maybe 50% as big as a Honeycomb. But Honeycomb are big anyway. Well, so that's like really not that weird.
50% bigger, yeah. Yeah, these, they're called big bites, but not like that bigger.
What do you think? Exactly what you expected?
Yeah, it sort of reminded me how much I don't like honeycombs. It's just bland.
I forgot how much okay.
Kind of remind me of how much I like honeycombs.
Yeah.
This, I kind of like them.
This isn't negative necessarily, but it kind of reminded me of how much honeycomb just tastes like generic post sugary cereal.
They're maybe slightly crispier.
I'm going to give it an okay. Like I don't hate it, but I don't
delicious.
Like it.
Good stuff. Might be exactly the same.
Henry gives it an okay. William gives it a
yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
I mean, I agree with both of those ratings. I probably am going to say delicious. I think I might be just a little bit hungry right now. And the one I had was pretty good.
Well,
but it just tastes like honeycomb.
It's crisp in a really satisfying way. There's something just like satisfying about just like munching it.
I will say, just as a matter of criticism, there's really no reason to buy the honeycomb big bites. You might as well just buy a box of honeycomb. Because it's the exact same thing, pretty much. Just a little bit bigger. All right, but these I'm interested in, these fruity pebbles crisps, because they look kind of crazy. Can I take a picture of what they actually look like here?
They're not going to be the same texture as fruity pebbles.
No, they're like round crisps, but they're multicolored and they look kind of crazy. I'm going to take a picture. Hmm. I'll try to post these pictures on our social media, on Instagram.
These fruity pebbles crisps are looking kind of crisp.
Or Twitter.
Whoa, they're like these, like, kind of circular discs.
Oh.
It's like this.
Yeah, they're like kind of like maybe an inch and a half in diameter.
Oh, it's like those chips that you can like dip
That's
stuff
what
in.
I was thinking, yeah.
I didn't think they'd actually be this thin.
All right. Strangely, they taste just like fruity pebbles.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're really
Even
good.
Even the texture is actually pretty similar.
But they're I really
good.
Like it.
They're kind of good. They're the shape... I approve of them. I don't know. Yeah. They're weird.
Yeah, I like how
Seems
it looks
like you
like.
Can make like a sweet dip and then just dip them in that and it would be really good.
That's what I was thinking. It does need some sort of dip, even though it would be like disgusting. But
it'd be good.
Yeah, like kind of a cream cheese dip or something.
Mm. I like how it looks like someone, like this is the first thing I thought of when I saw them, but it looks like someone just like took a whole bunch of Fruity Pebbles and just like stomped them with a boot. I mean, I know it's not actually what would happen because they'd just like dissolve. But...
Somehow like the multicolor reminds me of like, I don't know, playground equipment or something.
I don't know. It just reminds me of someone who just took like a hydraulic press or something and just like pressed all the.
That's probably what they did to make these, essentially.
They just melted them.
I don't know. They're pretty good, but they're weird.
I really like I'll get the delicious. And by the way, I feel like fruity. Random thought. I feel like fruity pebbles are better without milk. Like the
yum,
milk just.
Yum, 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 yum.
The milk just sort of like makes them soggy.
I actually disagree.
I like these.
First of all, I really like that sogginess. I'm not going to explain why. I have no idea why. That's why. But
you
second
like
of all,
you think it's delicious too, Will?
Yeah, it's a light delicious because
it is a light delicious. I don't know that I would run out to the store to buy more of these.
Yeah, but they're pretty good.
But I do kind of like them.
Oh, I definitely snack on them. Like I'd have them like as a snack. So two things. First of all,
I might like these better than Fruity Pebbles, like the cereal.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that I would eat really like Fruity Pebbles that often, but these are kind of good.
I would crush them up and have them as cereal. But
why crush them up?
I'd do that. They're that good. But first of all, I feel like the texture isn't quite there. It's a bit too thin and it feels like there's something missing like on its own. And second of all, I'm realizing that with post cereal, like the kind of like fake flavor works really well like as cereal, like in milk. But when you like take out the milk, you just kind of realize, oh, it just kind of tastes like a little bit fake.
Yeah, there is
it's still pretty good.
I don't know. I might revise this to an okay because there's something weird. There's like a little disconnect between when you first put it in your mouth, you're like, oh, it's the taste of Fruity Pebbles, but then like I don't know, the texture and the flavor of the chip itself is a little bit bland. It's strange.
It might be somewhere in between an okay and delicious. Still pretty good.
But, yeah.
But not
that's
bad.
A good rating.
I definitely don't think either of these are gross or disgusting.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
None of them are. Man.
So honeycomb big bites and fruity pebble crisps.
Yeah.
They're both got relatively positive reviews here on the Talk to Dad podcast.
Like a cautious positive. They're definitely worth trying if you're curious about them.
So that is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. Thanks, Will, for joining us for a game
thank
and for
you.
Treat Yourself. Thanks, Henry, for being on the podcast today.
Thank you.
And thank you to everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TDD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at TalkNet Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. and at talktodadpodcast.com, where you can download and stream all of our episodes from 1 to 241. If you like the podcast and you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend. And the other thing you can do is leave us a good review. If you leave us a 5-star review wherever you found the podcast, that might help other people be able to find the podcast as well. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. Last time for-